This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin, Corey Majors, the famous Mike Bacsik.
Famous.
And it is the penultimate show for one Reginald Atitula before he packs up his stuff and moves to Houston and says goodbye to us. Gentlemen, welcome to the show. How are you feeling today?
Great. I have a question for Reggie to start it off, even though tomorrow's the Reggie show.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're taking the show off.
Will you text Kevin or Corey or me, or will you just go, it's over?
No, I've absolutely text you guys. The only thing that's tough is I've gotten very used to, if I'm not on the show, kind of watching the show and then texting you guys and not getting responses during the course of the show because you're obviously doing a show.
Right.
Not going to really have that opportunity nearly as much. But yeah, I'll definitely hit you guys up.
We're 10 to 2. What time is your show in Houston?
Also 10 to 2.
That's it.
You have to do a four-hour show?
We have to compete with him on the Odyssey app?
That's what I said, too.
Who, okay, 877-881-1053. Who will be listening to Reggie in Houston on the Odyssey app over our show? You will wait.
They have CJ Stroud.
Absolutely, I can put it on the Odyssey
app.
If
you want to hear about the Strouder, is that his nickname down there?
Highly doubt it.
The Strouder?
What do you think his nickname is?
CJ.
Cal?
Why would it be Cal?
I don't know.
Okay.
Throw a nickname out there, man.
You think I should just come up with a nickname?
I honestly,
guns blazing, just like, here's the new nickname that we're all going to call him.
Yeah, walk in there and say, this is how we do it.
That's wild.
I have no clue what CJ stands for.
That's a good question. I just looked up what penultimate.
Because you said Cal, and I'm like, maybe it is. Maybe you know what his name is. Maybe it's Cal James Stroud.
Oh, my God. It's
Coleridge.
Coleridge Bernard Stroud the IV.
Where does the J come in?
I'm guessing junior.
That's a fancy.
Well, yeah, he's a fourth.
Well,
so
wouldn't it be CF Stroud for the fourth? Because fourth
think you
starts
start
with
calling him CF Stroud.
Yeah, but it's just two initials. Like, you're just changing an initial.
You can't be J. You can't be a junior if you're the fourth.
Yeah. But sometimes we just call folks junior just because that's somebody's son. I don't know.
Oh. Somebody did say y'all should do a cross-station interview between both stations. When we go to New Orleans for Super Bowl week, well, that is going to happen. We will storm the doors of Reggie's show and kick down everything.
It'll be amazing. Cowboys versus Houston in the Super Bowl.
It's going to be my favorite Super Bowl ever.
That is going to be a great Super
Bowl.
What if
that was it? What if Reggie being here was the reason the Cowboys couldn't do it? How long
have I
been
here for 25 years?
There you go.
Oh, have you?
What year were you born?
92.
He's not the Jinx.
But when did he get to Dallas?
2011.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh. Never mind. All right. Well,
Rangers. That might be the reason that they didn't win there.
Rangers?
Yeah.
Maybe he's the reason.
He's the reason the Rangers didn't win the first one. Wow.
All right. Now, speaking of the Cowboys, they have gotten all kinds of movings and shakings happening in the last 15, 16 hours. Carl Davis has been waived by the Dallas Cowboys. In the meantime, well, that just happened in the last like 15 minutes. Carl Lawson, the former Jets defensive end, was signed, and the Cowboys made a trade with the Giants for Jordan Phillips. I'm not saying that this changes the world or the balance of power or anything, but it is nice to see that the Cowboys look at the defensive line, and it feels like they're like, oh, yeah, we should probably do something.
You know, it tells you that during the off, they looked at their offseason and said, we didn't do enough. We have to get in here. We're watching what we had from last season, we're watching what we did in the offseason, and it's not good enough. So we're going to have to go find other avenues to make this better. When there were probably other options out there during the offseason, they could have gone and attacked there. But here you are now with these players, and now Mike Zimmer gets an opportunity to go, well, yeah, the guys we got are good enough, or this still isn't good enough for what I want.
I watched the first half of the Sunday game. It looked pretty bad, the defensive tackle situation. Yes. Now, I don't know this. The Rams don't really play anybody in preseason football. Like, they do very cowboy-like stuff and go, we ain't playing anybody.
It just looked questionable in training camp.
Most teams are like that now, yeah.
If you were playing your, I guess Odighizuwa wasn't out there, but if you're playing two of your main guys in a preseason game against backup offensive linemen, and it looks like that,
That had to be after that game was over. I'm just assuming the scouts and Steven and Jerry and Will got together and said, guys, so we were hoping for the improvement of Mozzie Smith, and we can still hope.
Yeah.
But that was against backups.
It's not there yet. Like, you're right. And I know Landry would say, hey, it takes 3 years. So I'm not saying, like,
right,
it's over. But just if you were hoping that that was going to be right now or to start the season, it doesn't look like it. From what we've seen in the practices, from what you saw in the preseason game, it doesn't feel like that's about to happen.
Yeah, these guys are going to have to learn it. Also, they're going to have to learn how to incorporate into Zimmer's scheme real quickly. Because, I mean, as you talk about it more and more, Zimmer's scheme is you just got to be in the right places and you're good. Like, you don't have to be one of those physically over the top gifted guys that takes over the entire field. You do what we're asking you to do, and we're gonna be in a better position to make the right plays.
Here's my question to you guys, and maybe Reggie, you can help out too, because I forget. Was there a defensive tackle that was somewhat affordable in March or April that, like, let's just say, because the Cowboys' hope was,
yeah,
Mozzie's going to improve tremendously, yep, and these other guys are going to improve. But now they're kind of getting, and I'm not trying to take shots at these guys, but they're getting scrap heaps and hoping they help. These aren't great players. They're just, or even good players. They're just like, let's give ourselves depth and hope that these guys are as good or better than what we have. Was there a person in March or April that was a defensive tackle that the Cowboys could assign to, like, let's just say, $7 million a year that you'd feel a lot more better about?
I don't know if a lot more better.
Yeah,
and
I
like
a horrible
no, I like that descriptor is accurate, but yeah, I'm not sure, because we got past the annual why don't you go sign Sue? Like, we moved on from that, because that's what it felt like for, I don't know, like 4 years. Mm-hmm. Every year you're like, what about a Ndamukong Suh? But we moved beyond that. So I don't know. But I did hear, I did hear Carl Lawson's name come up just off the edge. But I know that doesn't answer your particular question.
Yeah, I was just kind of looking. There were a bunch of dudes out there. Most of them were probably going back to their teams.
Okay.
Like, that was really, you'd have to go overpay.
Okay.
But that's the thing. If you're not drafting, if you're not committing good draft picks to this position, you're not really going to find it, because everybody's out there trying to find a Chris Jones, a Javon Kinlaw.
Sure.
You know, one of those kind of guys that you can say, interior defensive line, do I have something like that? I do see Kevin, the top Kinlaw this year, the top free agent comparison to him,
okay,
was Jordan Phillips in 2019, that,
okay,
version of him. So
yeah,
if you're getting a big 6'6", 300-pound, over 300-pound guy that can be in that way, and it's just, you know, can his body hold up to it? Can he be a Hankins-type guy that can work within that? And then the mindset's different, again, from Dan Quinn to Mike Zimmer. Dan Quinn's approach was, I'm putting four guys that can rush the passer, and that's going to bite us in the butt sometimes, but we really don't care about the run as much as we care about stopping the pass. And now that's going to be the fact, though, they got ran over most of the time. Mike Zimmer's going to say, we're stopping the run first. And that's why he said, we got to get more bodies.
You know what's interesting about this? Because you're talking about Hankins. Somebody mentioned Hankins as well. The Cowboys' concern with him was, can he stay on the field? And I know we're sliding to the side just a little bit, but that's one of the concerns that you're going to run into with Carl Lawson, where you're like, I think he can be a quality, usable player. Can he stay on the field? And so I know they're not going to be asking them to do the same thing, but that's why the Carl Lawson addition fascinates me, because he looks like a usable piece for sure, but can he stay on the field?
Yeah, his biggest thing was his rookie year. You were like, whoa, 8.5 sacks. You got excited about it. Next year, he's injured. And then Cincinnati kind of gives up on him after some lackluster performances.
Yep.
He didn't perform up to, with the Jets, what you expected. But
oh, yeah, he way undershot that contract.
By any means. So hopefully you know, Mike Zimmer can get the best. It really is, when Mike Zimmer says the best players want to be coached, he's like, I can coach. I know I can coach. It's just, can the player respond to it? And so I have no clue what to get out of the personality of Carl Lawson, but I know the body presents itself for the ability to be a good pass rusher. Can he play the other parts of it too?
And then you get an intra-division trade, picking up Jordan Phillips from the Giants. You get Jordan Phillips in a 7th for a six-round pick. And these are the kind of moves we talked about this last year with Gilmore and Cooks and moving off your fifth-round picks. I'm not saying that a fifth-round pick is not valuable. I'm not saying that whatsoever. But if you're making moves for a player that you're like, I think this player can be in the rotation right now, those are the kind of draft pick trades that I'm all about.
I'm with you, but here's where I always worry. If you're in the same division before a season starts and a team is like, you can have them, I always worry about that player. Does that make sense? Because right now, if the Cowboys traded a player to Washington, Philadelphia, or New York, we'd be like, they took them, and we moved up around in the draft.
True.
So that's the only thing. I'm not saying he's going to be good or bad or whatever. I just, if it was the Jets who traded with us, I'd be like, well, that makes sense. Different conference, and maybe we're getting somebody where they're overstocked.
Yeah.
But I just don't think right now in a 17-game season where wins and losses are just so valuable because there's so few games, it just, I wonder when the Giants or Philadelphia or Washington gives us a player before the season starts, can that player play?
I think that's a fair question. My thought was, because Jordan Phillips didn't even actually play for the Giants. Like, I know he got picked up by the Giants, but he hasn't actually played anything for them. I have to admit,
this dude's journey has been pretty wild.
It has. So I wonder if they looked at it from a, maybe like a better position of strength for them. And they're like, we're willing to make this deal, but that's an intriguing concept. But then again, a player for one team that you're like, yeah, he's probably not good enough, might fit on the Cowboys, where you're like, well, for this particular defensive spot, he'll be good enough for us.
But would you want to help the other team out you're competing against? Does that make sense?
I think about the Houston trade scenario that you gave us, like with the Astros a while back. It is a tough decision because on the one hand, I'm no. But on the other hand, what if your decision was, we're going to put him on waivers? And instead,
We'll move up one round.
We'll get a six rounder. I wonder if that's the decision. You're like, okay, well, I know we have to give up a seventh rounder, but we're moving up to the sixth round, and otherwise we're just going to let him walk and we're going to cut him. Like, let's do it.
Just find any kind of value.
Yeah, that would be my guess, but I think you raise a very valid point.
Yeah, and this spot is a spot they desperately needed, like a body. Like, they needed a real one technique for this spot specifically, so this helps out. This helps out the team for sure. Hopefully, like you said, hopefully he can still play.
So give me this. Help me out here. Give me who's going to start at defensive tackle against the Cleveland Browns and who are going to be the main two backups.
Well, I mean, Mike, that's right now. I would say let's see what happens Saturday, because I don't know. Is Jordan Phillips going to be out there Saturday?
Probably not.
In this mix, doing his thing? Is Carl Lawson going to be out there?
Because he's been in Giants camp.
Yeah,
he's not coming off of, hey, I haven't been playing or anything.
Well, I know, but wait, he's going to get there today, or he's going to get to Oxnard?
Well, remember the move they made last week with the cornerback? They bounced him in straight away. So I bet you get a look. I don't know how much of a look, but I bet you get a look.
Do you just make it simple for him? Like, you just tell him, like, hey, you're just going to do this on first and second down, try to eat up the guard and center. And if you're in on third down, try to go get the quarterback.
I mean, because for me, still, I'm still trying to just throw Mozzie out there and say, go do your thing for a full game. You need it, buddy.
In the preseason game?
Yeah, in the preseason. Okay. And then this last game, maybe roll him out there. But we'll see. I mean, that's one of the things as we get through today and as we get into tomorrow, we'll find out more from Broaddus and Mickey, because we'll get a better understanding of where they are, where their feet are, what they're actually doing.
Because would your initial thought be, maybe, with a lot still in flux, and I know you set it up like that, Mozzie and Osa could start in the middle, but that could change really quickly if you think Phillips...
For the preseason games or for the regular season?
For the regular season games.
I would think Phillips next to Osa.
Okay,
based on what we're watching from Mozzie right now.
If that is fair. If you think Phillips can fill or upgrade from the Hankins role, then you're
healthy.
Here we go. And be healthy. So it does kind of feel like two of those three are how it's going to go. But I think Corey's right. There's still a lot to determine.
Two preseason games left.
I feel fine about that. Yeah. But with Mozzie. But I like that they took a look and they're like, hey, we didn't spend a lot of money on it, but let's make some moves. Let's try to upgrade.
Hopefully this helps.
I'm with you on that. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, you want to keep those NFL conversations going with some NFL overreaction and reality, including a question about the Cowboys. Next right here on the Fan.
Here they come. Prescott looks over the middle and hits Lamb one-handed catch at the 40. There's a flag in the secondary at the 45 of New York, and it does look like a penalty against the defense.
Man, for half a second, I was like, that was not the audio I expected, but I'm glad we got the rest of it. It's time for some NFL overreaction or reality, and I'm just going to throw this out there because we were just having this conversation. The Cowboys are only set to have 2 days of training camp in Frisco. Now, we talked about how they were going to be in Oxnard longer this year, but man, that is a real shortening up of what they're going to do right there. And so we talked about the possibility of the Cowboys like bouncing around training camps, and if they did, would they just do it back in Texas? And my immediate thought was not really. And so we're just throwing around different places, and somebody said, Mike, I think it was you, did you say Mexico City?
No, that was Corey.
Okay, Corey said Mexico City, and I was like, man, that would be really interesting. Now, I understand the altitude could be a problem. There could be a whole lot of other issues. But for somebody who is looking to expand the footprint of the Cowboys, and clearly they already have a nice stronghold in there, that immediately perked up my thought.
Okay. Where else would be a good place?
Because
you got to think about, you know, weather-wise is most important, right?
Yeah. It's weird. I wouldn't think that would be the case, right?
Canada?
Do you think they dare go up east?
How nice do you think it is in Canada right now? What? Give me a place.
Canada, Vancouver.
A lot Canada's of bugs, place, I will say that. So. Playing in Canada and AAA.
62 in Alberta right now.
Okay.
But if you went to like Toronto, I don't even know if they have any like fan. Like,
all right, let's do some NFL
75
overreaction.
75 in Vancouver, Kevin.
Or reality. NFL overreaction or reality. You will watch or listen to the Cowboys Raiders preseason game live on Saturday night.
I think so.
I'm doing the Ranger game.
Ah. Let's say you weren't doing the Ranger game.
No.
Okay.
I will watch this game. I will watch preseason football after it's happened.
Did you DVR it right and fast
yes,
forward?
And then I hit the 30-second forward button. So after every play, like I'm watching this game as fast as I possibly can, if that makes sense. So I'm watching it, but I'm not waiting the 40 seconds in between plays.
I feel like I'm going to have to watch it on Sunday, unfortunately.
Okay, so your answer is no.
It'll be on where I am.
Okay.
But I'm probably not watching it because I have to be at a birthday party.
Whose birthday?
Yeah, is it kids or adult?
At 9 o'clock at night. Okay.
And it's not in DFW. It's out. It's on the outskirts.
Dude, you have friends outside of this area?
He moved. It's my dude from Papa John's. He moved and he's
you're going to Papa John's birthday party?
No, it's my friend.
Actually, I was telling Lucy about that this morning, and I said, yeah, we're going to go see our friend. She goes, oh, you mean the pizza delivery guy? And I was like, he's not a pizza delivery guy. He was like
the regional director
yeah. for the area. But
you have to start off somewhere.
He's turning 50. And so point. We've been invited and wanted to go say hi to him. I haven't seen him for a minute.
Okay.
So I think it'll be on where I am, but I don't think I'll be able to like sit down and watch it the way I want to.
Okay. NFL overreaction or reality, the Colts, not the Jags, will push the Texans for the title in the AFC South.
I'm going to be biased here and say the Jaguars had a horrible finish to the season. They were winning that division for most of the year. And then they just, I think they went 1-5 in their last six games and blew the division. And so I will say that they're not going to do that again. But I can see Houston winning that division again, but I think it'll be the Jaguars who are the ones that are competing for either a wild card spot or pushing Houston right at the end for a division title.
Are you trying to say that division might be the most competitive division in all of football then, Kevin? Because that doesn't mean
it's good, right?
Because I mean, if Jacksonville, like Doug Peterson is kind of I don't know what to think of him. He's a Super Bowl champion head coach.
True.
Who also has had two of the biggest doo-doo seasons we've ever seen as a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, which one is Doug Peterson? Can he be the guy that takes them all the way? So I think the Colts are an interesting team with Anthony Richardson, and I think they have a Michael Pittman's a really talented receiver who's like, he even said this year, I'm good, but I'm not known yet.
Yeah.
I'm not known, and I want to be known by everybody. So I'll go with the Colts over the Jags until the Jags prove otherwise.
Especially when you consider, man, the Colts looked really fun last year when they had, out of 17 games, 13 of them were started by Gardner Minshew.
Yeah.
I think Shane Steichen is an incredible play caller. Like, that's going to be a really interesting team this year.
Does Anthony Richardson, because I've said before, my interest level on what he does this season is really, really high. Is he high up in y'all? I know Cowboys are the focus, but is he high up in y'all's just like general NFL interest to see, like, can he stay healthy? And if he does, what can he do on the field?
Absolutely.
Okay, that's where I am too.
There was already that intrigue last year.
Yeah.
And so, like, him being out, because, I mean, at Florida, he was one of those big-time boomer bust prospects that you go, yeah,
yes,
that's the kind of guy that gets somebody fired. Because you see the high end of it, and you're like, that's incredible.
But then you see some of his passes, you're like, who the hell was that to?
Right. And so, like, you want to see if that works out, and now the intrigue has just added because in four games he looked kind of intriguing but then got hurt, you know?
I guess he's not high on my board.
That's okay.
It's okay, though. I think that you guys make valid points on why to watch Colts football early on in the season. I guess you named Houston and Jacksonville. In that division, I'm way more interested in C.J. Stroud and Trevor Lawrence than I am Anthony Richardson, and I'm interested in absolutely nothing in Tennessee.
Okay, that's interesting. And because I know
your face will love it.
I was going to say, I think I would be more, I am more interested in Richardson than Lawrence. Like, C.J. Stroud is very,
do you
very
feel like Lawrence is, not story is written, but do you think that it's, he is what he is. He's just like a solid quarterback, and he's going to make too many mistakes to be a great quarterback?
I don't
think that. Okay.
I think he could still move in to the upper tier, but I think we're at a point where Anthony Richardson could go all across. You know, like, could he become one of the best five quarterbacks of the NFL? I suppose. Could he be that coach-killing, franchise-halting quarterback? Yes, he could. And so I think that variance intrigues me.
Can I ask another football question?
Sure.
If you guys had $10,000, now Kevin's going to understand this a little bit better because he collects cards. You have $10,000. How much money of that, if you can only spend it on Anthony Richardson cards or Trevor Lawrence cards, nothing else, how much money are you investing in which player and why? Does that make sense?
I'm going all in on Richardson.
I would too.
Because I think the, especially short-term spike potential, is really high.
And the pieces around him, I think, like, Pittman's he's a true number one. And I don't know exactly how I feel about what they have in Jacksonville. I know Christian Kirk got paid, but I'm not sitting there.
He also has a calf injury now.
Yeah, so I'm not sitting there going, hey, he's my number one. I think, and they have an interesting running game. And
they drafted a first-round receiver, right? Why am I drawing a blank on Jacksonville's receiver they drafted? I'm sorry. People texted in. Was it LSU? Go ahead. Go ahead. Keep going. Next question.
All right. NFL overreaction or reality? Cowboys will not sign CeeDee Lamb before the start of the regular season.
No, they're going to get it done either the Monday before the Sunday.
Okay.
Or they're going to get it done like the Friday. Well, like, it'll be 10 days or 8 days before the first game of the year, somewhere right around there.
And one of the reasons I bring this up, Corey, is because you know how it goes. There's a story out, feels like every 5 minutes, Jerry Jones is like, hey, we're consciously trying to make a deal. And then there's reports that the Cowboys aren't even close because they haven't even offered up to 33 yet. And CeeDee Lamb wants the 35 or more that Justin Jefferson got. And so on and on and on and on. But overreaction or reality, the Cowboys will not sign CeeDee Lamb before the start of the regular season.
I don't think if they don't, I don't think that they can win this division.
And I guess I should say long-term deal, because I realize he is still under contract. If they think
we're fine with Brandon Cooks and Jalen Tolbert, then they have done a very poor job of managing their expectations.
I
don't think that they are there, and I think they understand how talented CeeDee Lamb is. Now, that could also be a situation, Kevin, where they're like, maybe we want to be higher up in the draft this year. The feeling is always Jerry wants to go win a Super Bowl because he doesn't have time for a bad time. But man, CeeDee Lamb is the thing that changes everything for you.
I would say if they play that game and they do a little bit of the Emmitt Smith thing, they are losing at Cleveland by double digits.
Okay.
And I think they would lose the game against New Orleans at home. It would be a very tight, close game.
Well, that'll answer your questions for you, then.
You found yourself 0-2, and then people are throwing fits, especially Dak Prescott, which he should at that point, going, what are you doing? What are we doing here? And so I think that the Cowboys know this. They would lose until they got to game four. I think they would win at New York if they played without CeeDee Lamb. But 1-3 to start the year, maybe 2-2 at best if you don't have CeeDee Lamb. And they know that, and they're not going to allow that.
Now, NFL overreaction or reality, I know they said they won't, but I'm still putting this question out there anyway. The Jets will change their mind and trade Haason Reddick when he doesn't
play for them.
Well, I mean,
who wants to trade for that guy?
At least now you know the parameters. If you don't give him a new deal, he's not going to play.
But he said he wouldn't play. He wouldn't hold out before. So at this point, I'm like, I don't even want to try working and negotiating with that guy.
But that wasn't the question. The question was,
they won't trade him.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think they'll trade him either.
I think what Corey just said is the truth.
Yeah, you're probably right.
All 31 other teams, and I guess we'll include the Philadelphia Eagles here, I don't think they're trading back for him.
That would be amazing.
But they are going, hey, this guy right now is somewhat crazy. And we know his parameters, and nobody's going to do it. So he's going to have to never play football the rest of his life. It looks like the Jets might take that stance and go, you son of a gun, you told us this, and we traded a third-round pick. That's fine. You know what? You can never play football the rest of your life if that's what you'd like.
Plus, the timeline on getting another deal done is probably a little tough. If you trade for him and then get him in and then also still have to work out a new deal, that feels like that's going to be tough for another team.
I'm always fascinated by that kind of stance. You'll never play football for the rest of your life. Because my first thought is, I've made millions of dollars playing football.
Right.
But also, I've spent millions of dollars while I've been playing football. A lot of times, because a lot of people don't work well with their money while they're working.
Let me ask you this then. Do you think every bonus overreaction or reality? Then I have one more, actually.
This is fun.
Every NFL team should employ some sort of financial detective to understand what the finances of all their players look like.
See, I thought you were going to say every team should have an assistant to help them with their money. But if they did that, they wouldn't be able to leverage. So yes, I would hire a financial detective.
So could be like,
he has no money. He's screwed.
I think that teams, they don't have a person that has that title or that's their one job.
But I think they have
an idea when they're like, hey, that dude has three kids from three different women and he's paying three different, child supports and all of this. They know stuff like that. And they know how desperate certain players can be at certain times based off of their lifestyle.
Now, Tyreek Hill talked about this earlier in the week. NFL overreaction or reality, you do believe that Tyreek Hill could beat Noah Lyles in the 100-meter dash. I could tweak it up to 150 if you want.
If they put on football pads, yes. If they're running in, if they're running in Olympic gear, no way. Those guys, when you watch that show Sprint on Netflix, they are practicing, I don't know how many times a day, just on the start. And I know Noah Lyles didn't get off to the best Olympic start. Yeah. Like, Tyreek Hill, how long does it take those guys to train to get off to the perfect start and how their first 10 strides are, where their head is at, and then when do they pick up their head? And
can I ask you a question? I'm totally serious.
Yeah.
I hear what you're saying. Do you think there's any part of Tyreek Hill that looks at that and says, that's part of how I run my routes? Like, I practice that thing.
No, I don't think so, because they have their head down. There's at no point, I don't think, as a wide receiver, do you want to start your route with your head looking at the ground.
Probably not.
The other thing, too, is, Tyreek, they did just change the rule that he can't have a running start, cheat. And I wonder how much that changes things. He feels like he's fast because he outruns all the cornerbacks who are going backwards, backpedaling and everything. But they also, he had that running start. I wonder, that doesn't change anything. He's still super fast. I don't think he's going to beat him, though.
It's like if we just said, I know he's 40 now. But yeah, just put LeBron James at tight end. Remember, he had the commercial.
Yes.
And it's like, it makes sense because he's 6'8" and 260-something pounds. He'd be a beast guy out there. But you know, the route running, he's smart. Like, if you'd have done that at 18, if you had decided at 18, I want to be an NFL wide receiver or tight end or whatever, LeBron would have done it and been great at it. But at 25, hey, just go out there and just run around and get open. There's more to it.
Quick, tiny bonus question. He could beat Noah Lyles in the 40.
Nope.
Okay. Just checking. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3
The Fan.
Well,
you said the 40, not 100, 40 yard.
Yes. What did you?
I'll still go with no.
Okay.
No, because I was like, Noah does kind of start a little slow, but no, yeah. I'm still going no.
The only thing that maybe if you did it combine-wise.
Okay.
Where you have a hand in the ground and you're starting more like the way they do it rather than blocks and everything. Yeah. That would be interesting.
Okay.
I think that would be a very good question.
Coming up next, it's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Masick.
Will the Rangers ever lose
again?
We're
back, baby!
It's time. Stupid. The Miracle Rangers next.
Winkowski set, and here's the pitch. Langford, a swing and a blast. Deep left center field. It's on its way. That ball is history. This game is tied. A three-run Jimmy Jack for Wyatt Langford. It's a 7-7 ball game.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan, and it's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Masick.
Last night was one of...
Where's your enthusiasm?
...was one of the best wins of the year.
Okay, good.
I think Josh Smith hitting the walk-off homer against Houston was probably better, but this one is probably second. Now, that being said, it's tough because... You're going to have to go on a miracle run here. Like, in the next 40 games, you're pretty much going to have to go 30-10
sure.
to give yourself a chance. So, most likely, they're not going to do it. Maybe they could. Probably not.
Right.
But last night was really fun to watch.
They've been really top-notch in extra innings. I know they just dropped the one before, but
right.
they've been excellent at extra innings this year.
Well, to get to down by three with two outs, and Wyatt Langford, who has six home runs on the year, five that have been out of the ballpark,
right.
you're just not expecting it. You really aren't. And as a pitcher at this point, you're not working off of Wyatt Langford's college stats sure. or spring training stats. You're working off of he is not a power threat in the major leagues. He's a speed threat. He can beat out ground balls, but... For him to get a pitch that he could handle and for him to hit it over the Green Monster, that one will be really fun for him the rest of his life. And hopefully for him, we talked about him yesterday. He was hitting 133 in the month of August. Now he is up to 200, going 3-for-5. It changed a lot when you just look at 1 month of stats. So now he's up to 200 in the month, and he was batting OPS was 430.
And that went up like 200 points.
Yeah, right? It went to like 630. Goes 3-for-5 yesterday, 3 runs, 3 RBIs. So that was great to see. Now, it was also great to see in this. If you weren't watching the game is tied in the eighth inning, and they hit a ground ball to left field, and the runner from second is going to try to score. Now, that fence is really close, and Wyatt Langford does a good job of charging the ground ball. The throw that he's making is probably 150 feet.
Okay.
He throws it all the way to the netting. He let it fly, and right there you got to really concentrate. Remember, he hasn't played a lot, and there's a big moment. It's a sold out crowd, Fenway Park. It's a lot shorter throw than what you're used to because the fence is so close there because the Green Monster. And so he just way overthrew the ball. And this is the learning stuff we talked about yesterday. Hey, he's learning. He's learning Fenway Park. He's learning left field overall. He's learning, you know, his arm strength isn't the best. Somebody tweeted me the other day because he threw a guy out. Like, he threw it, you know, over 90 miles an hour. It's like, hey, that's fine. I'm not trying to knock Wyatt Langford. Yeah. I love Wyatt Langford. But arm strength in the outfield, when guys get like, all the way into it throwing, Ezekiel Duran throws it close to 100 miles an hour. You have Adolis Garcia throwing the ball in the mid to high 90s when he gets his arm, when his body behind it and throws it as hard as he can. Right there, you just got to make sure you're trying to throw a one-hop throw because if I get a short hop, it's going to be, I'll say, easy to catch. The in-between hop is very tough. And with the catcher's mitt, even a short hop can be tough to catch, but you got to make sure the throw is low. If it's low, we have a chance. If it's high, we have no chance.
Yeah.
And so that's just one of those things they'll probably just go over. And you can laugh about it now because he hits the three-run homer. because you could make a joke. I'm just making a joke. If you're his teammate and you could be like, hey, Wyatt, what do you think? Do you think you hit the ball further or threw the ball further? Right. You know, like, I mean, but you're having fun because sure. you won. If you lose the game, if he doesn't hit the home run,
probably
or
not time for
if
that.
You tie the game up and Boston wins the game in extra innings, you're not going to throw out jokes like that yeah. because you don't know after a loss how people are going to take sure. it. But they come back home. They get to play the Minnesota Twins. The Twins are really good, by the way. So if you're like, oh, Minnesota Twins, I'm not following them. They're in the playoffs. They're the second wild card team right now. They have a great chance to make the playoffs right now. So you have a tough game. And Bochy after the game said, hey, it wasn't that good of a road trip, but 2-4 is way better than 1-5.
I heard that too. I was like, well, he kind of had to squeeze that one out, but I definitely believed him whenever he said that. He seemed like refocused. There was some energy from this. I love the question. Sorry, I love yeah, yeah. the question, Mike, of how much guts did it take to do what they did last night? Because he smiled, and I was kind of hoping that he would say, you know, I'm on the radio show today. I did say that you got to love these moments against this kind of crowd. You got to. I was really hoping he would, but because that's what he's thinking right now. I need some dudes who are tough, not some dudes who are going to fold up.
And you're looking for anything at this point, right? Yes. To be the spark. Like, we're looking for anything to be excited about. Because I know some people are probably going to text and be like, they're not going to win any. I hear you. But you're looking for anything to be positive and to spark you at this point.
Yeah, and even this, I didn't even say this on the post-game show, and I don't want to go into a whole segment about him, but Festa, who came in relief, did a great job.
Yes.
This is what I'm looking for at this point. When you're watching Walter Pennington, Festa, and I got to even look up how old Festa is. Like, maybe he's 30 years old, and I'm reading it wrong and be like, no, he's not like a guy who's just made it to the big leagues and this and that. But I'm watching and seeing right now, what could happen to this team in the off season? What could this team look like in 2025? Because to be honest, I'll throw this out. If somebody says, hey, do you think the offense will be better in 2025? I'm going to say, I don't know. This season has confused me so much on this offense. I don't know what this offense is going to do in the future. I don't know what it's going to do tonight. Tonight, it might get 4 singles and no runs. And then you're just like, wait a second, we just scored 9 and we scored 7 in the 8th, 9th, and 10th inning, and you were seeing the ball leave the park, and you were seeing Adolis Garcia hit 2 home runs yesterday. He's at 20, and I was saying on the post-game show, if the Rangers are going to make some sort of miracle run, he has to have 30 home runs at the end of the year. So he has to hit a home run pretty much one every 4 games at this point. Now, I'm not saying it'll be perfect like that. Every 4th game, he hits a home run. But if you're going to make some sort of run, you're going to have Adolis Garcia, what he did last night. Yes. You're going to have him that productive where he had 2 RBIs last night. He's going to have approximately an RBI a game on average the rest of the year. If you're going to make this miracle run that Dave Valley and Dave Raymond were talking about, if you're going to make the miracle run, Adolis Garcia is going to have probably about 10 home runs and approximately 30 to 40 RBIs the rest of the way.
Been begging him, Kevin.
I mean,
like we did that last week of which 2 guys is it? And I said DeGrom and Garcia because DeGrom's exciting. I think can bring energy to the team, but Garcia is a producer. He puts runs on the board for this team, and it's been missing all season.
Now, Mike, are you going to be leaving today at 1 o'clock?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
For broadcasting duties for the Rangers. Is there any chance you need to leave any earlier to get up to Globe Life Field for their press conference at 1 o'clock?
What's the press conference about?
Intriguing indeed. It's not about the Rangers, but I can tell you the mayor of Arlington is going to be there, and I think that's really neat. And unrelated, tomorrow we're going to have Darby Allin from AEW on the show at 11 o'clock. But it's probably unrelated.
Oh, are you saying the WWF's going to have a wrestling event at the Globe Life
Field? That is a different thing, Corey.
Oh,
okay. Well, that sounds great.
He's not going to be at the press conference.
So, well, there's no way I can make it. If it starts at 1, there's no way I can make it out.
You can leave early.
Last night in Major League Baseball, Aaron Judge hit his 300th home run. He's the fastest person in games played to get to 300 home runs in the history of baseball, beating Ralph Kiner, who played before there was, color television pretty much, because his picture's in black and white. But
yes,
fourth all time on that list was Juan Gonzalez. I just think that is amazing.
That is amazing.
So it's Aaron Judge, Ralph Kiner. I can't remember the third guy. I'm sorry. And then fourth was Juan Gonzalez. They showed it on MLB Network this morning, and I'm just... You forget how unbelievably great Juan Gonzalez was to start his career.
I'll never forget.
See,
maybe because we grew up
for
in that
Metroplex
time.
People, because at the age of 21, 27 home runs, 102 RBIs. Next year, 43 home runs, 109 RBIs. As a 23-year-old, 46 home runs, 118 RBIs, an OPS of 1.000, and he finished fourth for MVP. Like, he came out of the gates on fire.
I suggest this. If you didn't get a chance to watch Juan Gonzalez hit, go to YouTube right now and watch Juan Gonzalez highlights hitting home runs. This dude, like, his swing was amazing. I loved watching him hit the ball, man.
Yeah, I just wanted to point that out. And I know, look, he didn't even get, I don't even know if he got a single vote for Hall of Fame. He might have gotten a vote or two, but I mean, it was off the ballot in a hurry. What's amazing is his last productive year in the major leagues was when he was 31 years old. And then it was just over.
He has a career OPS of 904 and won two MVPs.
The video I'm watching right now is 40 minutes long of Juan Gonzalez highlights.
And
so
I have talked to, I played with Juan
busy, guys.
In Cleveland and my time's up here, but he was unbelievable that year. He did have 35 homers, 140 RBIs. I mean, he was amazing. And that was it. That was his last year of being a productive player. But talking to Mark McLemore and guys that really played with him for a long time and got to know him, different, but he had a little bit of a Josh Hamilton mentality where you really had to motivate him. He had to have the right people around him to motivate him to play every day and to play baseball somewhat. And so once he kind of fell off of that and maybe didn't have the right people around him, he couldn't have that type of maybe attitude that you needed to push yourself to play into your mid-30s and be a great player still.
How did we watch TV when it was so blurry like this? This is bad. Like, this is just so blurry compared to the HD we have.
But
now,
that's probably what people now think about the TV we grew up on, right? Like, how did you watch Thundercats like this? We're the KNC masterpiece. There you go, right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola, live from Oxnard on 105.3 The Fan.